Recorded Books and One Click Digital present The Race for Paris by Meg Waite Clayton. Narrated by Jennifer Iketa. A quote from journalist Martha Gellhorn in a December 13, 1943 letter. I would give anything to be part of the invasion and see Paris right at the beginning and watch the peace. A quote from Martin Amis, from The Second Plane. And yet, love turns out to be the only part of us that is solid, as the world turns upside down and the screen goes black. Hôtel de Ville, Paris. Saturday, August 20th, 1994. A quote from photojournalist Dorothea Lange. Every image he sees, every photograph he takes, becomes, in a sense, a self-portrait. The moon over the Hôtel de Ville hangs as round and golden as a sea ration can to complete this fairy tale setting. The clock in the tower striking the half hour. The stone flag bearers rising above slate roofs like egrets poised for flight. And the windows, of course. All those windows leaving guests trying to remember which one exactly de Gaulle addressed us from. Those of us old enough to remember, anyway. Inside, tuxedoed men and sparkling women will be claiming flutes of champagne. They'll be toasting, pushing against the fog, an exhibit of Liv's photographs taken as she and Fletcher and I crossed Normandy 50 years ago, vying to be the first to report from a liberated Paris, a moment that could make a young journalist's career. That's what we were, Liv and I, young journalists. Before the war, I was a typist at the Nashville Banner, and Liv was in school. Then Pearl Harbor was bombed, and the boys headed for war, leaving girls like us to step into vacated bylines. Women, I perhaps ought to say. But we were girls then in so many ways, as surely as the men who came back, or didn't, were boys when they left. Britt, who was sent to collect me for this opening celebration, nods at the clock, to the left of the de Gaulle window. Yes, I do remember which one it was. With my good hand, I smooth a wrinkle in her red silk sheath. Vintage, they call it now, as a tour boat passes behind us on the Seine. The gown fits you like a thick newspaper fits a Sunday morning, Britty, I say. Although in truth, I prefer her usual cargo pants and t-shirts, the vest she wears unless the devil himself is sweating in whatever godforsaken war zone she finds herself. On impulse, I unhook my necklace, a lonely emerald in a circle of diamonds. You have the better neck for this, I say, and I expect it will fit nicely in your field pack after tonight. That necklace wouldn't last one moment in my pack, nor would my life if I were carrying it, she responds easily, kicking the possibility of her death high and wide. Does anyone in her 20s imagine herself mortal? In her 20s, as Liv and I were when we met, Liv barely 21 and me just a year older. Well, I'll wear it for you tonight, Britt concedes. I say, it's not too late. We could climb onto one of those tacky tour boats and make a getaway. The look she gives me. No, we can't. Of course we can't. Liv's photos will be here for a month, with crowds lining up, queuing, Britt would say, at the side entrance on the Rue de Rivoli to see the exhibit and perhaps buy the companion book, as if this exhibit came first and the book followed, rather than the other way around. But tonight is for the book, which has been 50 years in the making. 50 years.